Good afternoon. I was going to say morning, but it's not. So it's good to see you all. I have to finish setting up. Sorry. Okay, well, today is Super Bowl Sunday, so I should make this really quick and talk about how God answers prayer. And we're going to vote for two different teams. Oh, boy. Well, I think the Broncos, they're 12-4, but my sister lives in Denver. And the Carolina Panthers, they're 15-1. That's pretty good. I guess last night in the esports betting arena, a lot of people started betting on Broncos, so maybe they're going to win, who knows. I've heard it said that if you play Madden on the PS4, they've already predicted who's going to win, so I won't tell you. But stick around to the end. And maybe we'll find out. Just kidding. Well, today we're going to look at how God answers prayer. And sometimes we think that he is like a magic eight ball. We're Christians. We've never touched a magic eight ball, ever, I'm sure. Just kidding. So you have this eight ball. They sell it in the toy section. Normally you shake it upside down, right side up. It doesn't matter. You ask a question. And you wait till the little triangle in the inside stops spinning, and it tells you your answer. So it's like, hey, God, I really want a new car. Yes, he says. Oh, good. Oh, God, I really want to have a girlfriend. That's ridiculous, he says. And then this one I think we feel is true all the time. Oh, God, I really want this to work out. Reply hazy, try again later. So we look at God like a magic eight ball, but maybe we also look at him like a vending machine in the sky. He's got every single thing we would want in that vending machine. We just have to ask, put in the right amount of change, maybe give it a kick on the side, and everything will work out for us. Maybe it's like a blank check. God has written it to us. We just have whatever we want on it, and it'll happen. Or maybe it's like this little girl. I think her name is Darlene. She was praying her prayers one night, and at the very end, she said, I want to find her quote. And dear Lord, please send the beautiful snow to keep the little flowers warm this winter. Climbing into her bed, she looked at her mom and said, that time I fooled him. I want the snow so I can go sledding in my new sled. So sometimes we think God can get fooled into doing what we want him to. So then that brings us to the Super Bowl. People are going to pray on both sides. How does God answer? Does he care about a sport? I think he probably cares about the people that are playing on the sport. There are Christians on both sides, believe it or not. So who will win? Or will he just allow athleticism to make the call? That's okay, because that's still an answer to prayer. And then we get to our debates that have been happening in the political arena. We pray for one leader to take a better stance than another, and this and that. And they all take a stance, but they all have their human free will. And God doesn't violate our human free will. So how does God answer in a situation like that? And then we have the shootings and other circumstances that happen. And people say, oh, I'll pray for you. But some of them don't even believe in prayer. Some of their faiths don't even know who they're praying to. So is that prayer? Is that going to be answered? I think it's a little better than that, and a little more gracious than that. Because God is a good and gracious God. And I really hope that's what we can find out today. Before we go on, I'd like to pray. God, please give me the words to speak. It's just your words, not mine. The research you allowed me to do, but it's your thoughts. Please help them be clear. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is a wrap-up from our war room study, and we've been going through how to stand strong against Satan. We already learned that he has four main tricks against us: distraction, deception, derision, and division. He does these attacks against us at all times. Sometimes they are offensively, and sometimes they are defensively. So then we learned how to pray defensively, how to respond to Satan. We respond by resisting in Jesus' name, by escaping with Scripture, knowing Scripture and saying it, by searching for unconfessed sin, by pleading the blood of Jesus, remembering that he is the one that saved you, by overtaking ground taken by Satan, by naming someone in targeted prayer, so that when you are being hurt and misunderstood and misaligned by Satan, you pray for someone else that is too. Then you're both blessed. And then finally, delighting in the Lord. So defensively, and then we learned offensively how to not only stand strong, but how to take ground. And we do it by being bold in our prayers, by saying God's word out loud so that Satan hears. Because Satan can't hear our thoughts. He's a created being that does not have infinite power. But God said if we submit to him, we resist the devil, he will flee. So we stand and we move forward offensively. So then we get to how does God answer prayer. And believe it or not, Taco Bell has the best solution. If you've ever been there on the sauces, there's the answers to prayer. Yes, no, and maybe. But instead of maybe, it's wait, really. Because sometimes we have to wait on God to either prepare our hearts or to prepare the situation for us. So one of my kids managed to find these packets, and I've saved it for months and months in order for the illustration. So then what is prayer? Prayer is actually, so I've heard, one of the only things that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to do. They could have asked him an infinite number of other stuff, and yet they said, Lord, teach us to pray. That's pretty crazy. Well, then, here we go. We're in modern society, and prayer is an enigma and a mystery. And sometimes we think, okay, it's the number of times that I say this prayer. I said it 165,000 times. It's got to be one more, and then God will do it. Maybe it's the intensity of the prayer. We shout our prayer out loud so that God can hear us even better. But the prophets of Baal tried to pray out to their God, who is a deaf, man-made God, and he heard not. Maybe we think, okay, if I'm hiding in a closet, then he's going to hear me. He's going to answer my prayer. Maybe if I'm on one leg and I'm like this and I'm holding, I don't know, a water pitcher, then God will answer my prayers. It's like this boy, he was really hoping to have a bike. He said, God, if you give me a bike, I'm going to be good for a year. And he thought about it and knew that God would probably see through that plan. So he said, God, if you give me a bike, I'll be good for 3 weeks. And he thought about it again. He looked over on the wall, and his family had the Virgin Mary on the wall. So he goes over, grabs the Virgin Mary, goes into his room and hides it. He says, God, if you ever want to see your mother alive again, I want a bike. Then we try to ransom things so that God can listen to us, to give us what we want. But prayer is not like that. Prayer is actually a relationship with God, a conversation with, not just to God one way, but bidirectional. How do you listen to a God that is spirit, a God that is invisible? Well, you listen by being quiet, by being still in your heart. Maybe busyness is going on around you, but you listen for how God through the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And he does it through other people sometimes, through his word, the Bible, and sometimes in just amazing ways. God wants to change us. And that's what prayer does. It changes us, it changes our perspective, and it shows us where God is already at work. There's a story, I think the author G.K. Chesterton told it, of this guy who wanted to go and sail around and discover the South Pacific Islands. And as he was telling this story, he left on his sailboat and went for a really long time and went to this place, and it was amazing. And as he was exploring it, he realized it was just the backside of the place he had been living the whole time. So prayer is a lot like that. We pray for these things, these extravagant things, but God opens our eyes up to see, hey, I'm already working right here. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to change? And then in order for prayer to actually work, you have to be in a relationship with Him, which, like Chuck said, is believing that He is the only one that can save you. We've all sinned. We've done bad stuff. Every lick of that is keeping us from holiness or perfection. No matter how many times we die, let's just say we did reincarnation, you'll never match perfection. Only one single death and sacrifice could do that to bring about perfection, paradise. And that is believing in Jesus Christ, who had the power as a sinless human being and fully God to take away our sins. That is the only way we can have a relationship with Him. Then we can have this prayer, this bidirectional communication with Him. Well, our passage is not the one in the bulletins. It is actually found in Matthew 21, verses 18 through 22. And if you turn there, it'd be cool. We do have pew Bibles. If you have a device, I promise you that if you do an internet search for Matthew 21, 18 through 22, you will find it. Seek and you will find, I think it says in Matthew 7, 7. Well, what went on in the context of this passage is that this is now the time for Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The triumphal entry had just happened. He had marched on through Jerusalem, and people were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Waving palm branches and putting them on the ground, putting their coats on the ground so the donkey could walk over. This is the very next day in which we're joining the story. So let's read, starting at verse 18. Early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately, the tree withered. Okay, well, fig trees, they are common in Israel, especially in the countryside. And they're an unusual type of plant. They would normally have fruit first before the leaves would come. So this early fruit would come around this time that Jesus was here. And then that fruit would go away, the leaves would come, and then it would promise a greater harvest of more figs after that. So when Jesus comes up to this tree, which is saying, hey, I'm full of leaves, I'm full of this great fruit, he finds out that it was a hypocrite the whole time, because there's no fruit under its leaves. Jesus, knowing that it would never amount to anything, because it had no fruit in its roots, in its branches, in its life, he cursed it. Not because he was hungry, because that wouldn't be what Jesus did, but he cursed it because of a judgment that was passing on Israel. Just after the triumphal entry, you remember that Jesus cleared the temple? He says, "Why are you making my temple a den of thieves?" The reason Jesus is doing this is Israel is pretending from far away to look like a tree with lots of leaves on it. Oh, we worship God. Come, everyone can worship Him. But you have to do this ritual and that ritual. You have to wash your hands because you're unclean. You have to do this and that. Hypocrite underneath it all. And when Jesus cursed the fig tree, he was symbolically saying, Israel, who basically their national mascot is like a fig tree, that you are being judged. So then it shriveled up. And the disciples, they marvel at this. So let's keep going, verses 20 through 22. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go and throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Well, from where the disciples are standing, they're traveling from a place called Bethany or Bethphage, going to Jerusalem again. And they would be able to see the Mount of Olives, a hill or a mountain. And then they might have even been able to see the Dead Sea. A lot of times Jesus in his illustrations will use what's going on around. So when he said, "You talk to that mountain, you cast it into that sea," they could actually see what was going on. Removing mountains is a figure of speech. Basically, it means being able to do something that is virtually impossible. And the point that Jesus is making is that absolute trust in God is able to do the impossible. Without doubting is actually meaning without wavering in the confidence that we have in God. David in the Psalms kind of is, for me, a liberty, because he doubts a lot. He never doubts his faith in Jesus, in God. But he always has questions. He always wonders. And God doesn't kill him. He actually says he's a man after God's own heart. So if David, who is mightier than I am, was able to do this and still live, it's okay for me to question things, to wonder, to sometimes doubt, but not have my faith in God's providence and his strength to be shaken. So when we say that we don't doubt, it means wavering and unwavering about what God can do. That's really as simple as it can be. And what Jesus is trying to do, instead of just talking about the physical mountain and the physical sea, he's trying to prepare his disciples for the great obstacles that they were going to face in telling others about Jesus. And that when they prayed in mighty ways, things that were impossible can be done because of God's power. That's what Jesus is saying in this passage. So then, for us, what does it mean that whatever we ask for will be given to us? Because that's super cool. I would love that. But there are some nuances to it. Well, prayer, Billy Graham says, is the rope that pulls God and man together. But it doesn't pull God down to us. It pulls us up to God. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer requests and prayers. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So he's saying we can actually pray at all times for all things. That's neat. On the back table, I didn't hand it out because if you want to get it, that would be fine. I did a lot of work, and I can't say that this is a pretty thing that I've done. I think if we pray pansy prayers, we wouldn't want this because it doesn't look all cool and cute, all perfect. But if you want to pray strong prayers, it doesn't really matter what it looks like as long as the information is good. So I've written it anyway. And what it entails are God's plans in prayer. How to pray. God's plan is not our own. So we need to pray his will as Jesus did. We can pray God's promises boldly because they're his words. He is good and he is faithful. God hears us. We ask for anything, but we need to ask in his will and be willing to accept it. God delights in taking care of his believers, and many times he gives us even the things we don't ask for. We pray for a harvest and for God to supply the people, but we have to be willing to be part of the answer. Even when we don't know how to pray, did you know that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us? That's cool. Because sometimes I don't know how to pray. It's like, God, but my heart is to serve you. And the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And then also Jesus does too. He's sitting at the right hand of God. And he's saying, okay, you know our child down there. They really need help in this situation. I don't know how to pray, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit are interceding on my behalf. And then the last is prayer is powerful. I'd encourage you to get it in the back. I have two other things. One is God's promises. One is how to stand firm in spiritual warfare. Pray pansy prayers, pass it. Pray powerful prayers, pick it up. Lots of P's in that. Well, for how to pray, Matthew 6, 5 through 8 says that it's not for our own glorification. It's okay to pray out loud. It's actually called community prayer. But you don't pray so that others can say, wow, that is a really good prayer. Good job, man. Because that's the reward that we get. And then secondly, we pray for God's kingdom to come here on earth. And sometimes it's just God opening our eyes to see how he's working in someone else's life. Thirdly, we pray for his glory. He always wants to be glorified. So if we pray that he's glorified in that situation, that's a prayer he's going to answer and be honored with. We pray for God's will to be done, and God will not go against his word. So that's why the promises are important. We pray not to spend it on our own passions. So like, God, I want $1 million so I can buy whatever I want. But maybe, God, can you please raise $1 million for the orphans in England that really need it? It's not for me. It's for your kids over there. We pray in Jesus' name, which is John 14, 13 through 14. And then we have faith. Now, there was a nightclub that was opening, not here, but on Main Street somewhere. And the only church in this small town, they organized an all-night prayer meeting. And you know what they prayed for? They prayed that the nightclub would burn down. So that night, a freak thunderstorm came. Lightning struck the nightclub and burnt it down. Well, the owner, he started to put... He sued them, essentially. And when it went to the judge looked over everything, and he says, well, you know what? The owner, he believes in prayer. The church, they don't. They denied everything. So we have to have faith that it happens. Now, yes, this is a illustration. I don't say we should say, please burn something down. But we can say, please work in those people's lives. Please take Satan's stronghold away. Help me to know how to be involved to speak life into that situation. Well, there was a man, his name was George Mueller. And he lived in the 1800s. I think he died in 1892-ish. He wrote in a journal, and you can actually get it free online almost anywhere. But he was a pastor for 66 years, which I didn't know. And he also is mostly known for his orphan work. And he started orphanages in England. And he helped impact 10,000 orphans there. And you know what? He never asked for money at all. So how do you care for 10,000 orphans without asking for money? Well, the reason he did that was so that he said, I don't have the spiritual gift of faith. Because if I did, then you wouldn't have to do what I'm doing. I just have the grace of faith. I know that God will keep his promises. So what he did, he prayed God's promises back to him. He said, I know you said that you would take care of your little ones, that you take care of the birds of the sky. How much more will you clothe and feed those that you care for? And he would pray these things back to God. Every day, something would happen. Sometimes a cart would get stuck, and the fresh milk that couldn't be delivered would be brought to them. sometimes the baker would accidentally bake too many pieces of bread or loaves of bread and would have to bring it to them. Sometimes someone would say, I had a burden on my heart for a long time to bring this to you, and would bring it to him. It was also that God's faith can be manifested in what went on, so that we as believers would be able to say, he prayed like that. And it's not because he was supernaturally gifted, but it was because he believed God. And here we kind of come to the crux of it. Do we believe God? Well, what about when bad things happen? When Mary, George Mueller's wife, was dying, you know what he prayed? He said, if it would be good for you and for your glory, could you heal her? But most deeply, he prayed that they would be satisfied in God with whatever he did. So God actually answered that, and she died. He said, no good thing from God will be withheld, and God withheld no good thing from me. I was satisfied with God, and all the springs, as I have often said before, from taking God at his word, is coming from believing in what he says. So he believed what God said. I have some relatives that say, we prayed for a long time, we got no answer, so we don't believe. There is no God, I'm going to have no faith, I'm going to walk away. So when silence came, when God says, hey, you need to get right with me, I'm working on it, they said, go away. I realized today when I was brushing my teeth, which is weird, that it's easy to be an atheist. The reason is you don't have to think through anything. When something supernatural happens, you're like, couldn't happen? Doesn't exist. Go away. I'm going to die when I'm in the grave. But if you don't, if you believe that maybe there's something that could happen, even agnosticism, I doubt it, but maybe, you have to use your intellect to look into, whoa, why did that happen? Was it scientific? Sure. But was it a different reason? Is it unexplainable? If it's unexplainable, man, what do I do with that? So it causes you to have to think through things. And that's what God does many times in prayer. It causes us to think about what he's doing and to say, God, I'm going to just trust you. So my aunt, she died when she was 39. And Romans 8:28 says that God works all things together for our good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So was it his good to have my aunt killed on the side of the road while riding a bike? When we're going through that, the answer is, man, I really don't know. Is it God's will that if she would have been able to live, my cousins would have been more sold out for God than they are now? I don't know. Those kind of things happen. And we pray, God, where are you in this situation? I really want everything to be made good. But I'm going to have to trust that you're going to make it good, God. I know you might just say, well, you have to hold on. Maybe I won't know until I get to heaven. But God, please help me. So instead of just crumbling when we don't have an answer, 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. And like I said the other day, it's not just praying every single second of the day, because we're humans, we don't do that. But it's having a continual open dialogue with God. God, I'm frustrated that guy pulled in front of me. Please help me not to sin. God, I'm really hungry. Please help me just to be able to wait till I eat. God, I'm super nervous having to speak in front of 60 adults that are staring at me. Please help my butterflies to be calm. And it's just having that kind of open relationship with God. And sometimes there will be times when we don't know what he's saying. I don't get it. God, I'm going to trust that you are almighty. You are all loving. I just don't get it. Please help my faith. And God's super cool and super gracious. He didn't kill David. He hasn't killed me. And he wants us to be authentic. So then sometimes things keep our prayers from God, believe it or not. One is not a relationship with him, so having no relationship with him. Another one is sin. So if there's sin in your life that you know you aren't getting rid of, yeah, God hears you. He always hears us. But your prayers will not be answered. Now, what about the sins that we don't know about? And thankfully, God is not one that's just a judgmental, domineering, dictatorial God. He looks at our heart and says, I know you're trying to honor me. Here, I'm going to point out this sin. Oh, man, now I know. And then you say, God, thank you that you forgave me for that sin. So, yeah, there's going to be some that you don't even know about. But if you have a good relationship with God, the Holy Spirit will point this out as you're reading the Bible, as you're praying, as you're trying to honor him. So prayer actually is good. And then sometimes God gives us things we don't even ask for. It's called the desires of our heart. And Psalm 37:4. I went to Alaska Bible College when I was 18 and met a really pretty girl. But I didn't want to talk to her, so I would just stare at her through the bookcases of the library. I am shy, so it took a long time to talk to her, and I don't know. I ended up picking a flower and giving it to her and then running off. So as an 18-year-old, I wasn't looking for love. I wasn't looking for marriage. But God knew my heart. All growing up, I wanted someone that loved me unconditionally, that would be willing to stick with me through all my stupid jokes and weird quirks and throat clearing and hair that hasn't changed since I was born, to be able to love me for who I am. That was the desire of my heart, but it was an unprayed desire. And God brought Amy along. And I've seen more that she's an exact helpmeet for me, completing all of the edges that I didn't realize were rough and needed completing, like a perfect puzzle piece. I wasn't looking to that, but God had it orchestrated perfectly. When we are in right relationship with him, we have to trust that he will do what is good for us. Sometimes it's not going to be good, but he will do it. Remember, prayer isn't just about a posture, about a position, about how you speak. It's not even having your own war closet, a prayer closet that you go and secretly hide. It's having the faith that God will do what he says. It's not saying, well, pray 10 Hail Marys and 5 Our Fathers and that'll happen. It's saying, I'm going to believe that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Well, then, there is ways we can do this, then, to interact in the Christian world. We can pray for our United States. I think this political season is going to be one humdinger. And we can join Billy and Franklin Graham to pray for the U.S. I think a lot can change, and man, if it does, persecution is going to ramp up very quickly. So we can pray for that. Voice of the Martyrs, they have an app that you pull up on your phone and you go to it each and every day. And they tell you about a country. And in this case, it's Nigeria. And you say, how can I pray for this, God? And over there, they have the Boko Haram, which are infiltrating, man, much of their society, and it's bad. And you say, Lord, please help the Christians over there. How can I be involved? If you want me just to be here praying for them, God, great, Just make it clear. And then you click, I prayed. And 974 other people have already prayed for this today. And then War Room actually put out an app. So you say, okay, I don't want to write down my prayers because I don't always have a piece of pen and a paper. But I think a majority of us, if not 95%, actually carry something with you all the time, whether it's a piece of paper or a phone. And here, I would encourage you to write down your prayer request, not so that you waste ink or you waste your battery, but so that you can see how God is moving. When the praises come in, you can be reminded of all the ways that God has already worked. So you can use this app. You can write it down like the old-fashioned way. If George Mueller hadn't written his down, we wouldn't have had all his answers to prayer. So then it becomes a legacy for those that come behind us, too. And then last is we pray for God-shaped dreams. Like I said, sometimes we pray pansy prayers. And I'll give you an example. God, please help them not to get divorced. Why would you say that's a pansy prayer? It's a good prayer, but you can add to it. God, please help them not to get divorced because your power will not be demonstrated in that situation. Because when their family comes back together, they will be stronger than ever. Please have your name glorified in their marriage, in their situation, so that you can be proclaimed and your kingdom can come. That's not a pansy prayer. That is like a football player suited up, getting ready for the Super Bowl prayer. That is standing firm and moving forward. So we don't let our insecurities, our inhibitions stop us. We pray God's prayer back to him. God, you said you would help me out in this situation. You would give me wisdom, so I thank you for that wisdom. Help me see it. God is a great God, and he answers prayer. Sometimes it's yes right away. Sometimes it's no right away. Many times it's wait. So at the very end of the War Room movie, I think it sums up a super great prayer that Miss Clara prays for God on our behalf.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle, that we may proclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.